If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello. Welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, and my guest tonight is visionary teacher, healer, and spiritual counselor, Nigel Taylor. Nigel spent many years traveling and studying a vast array of cultures, creeds, and traditions, and meeting and sharing across dimensions with spiritual teachers who have shaped and continue to shape the reality in which we live and into which we are transitioning. Nigel is the author of over 26 recordings and a number of books, including his latest, The Power Before Thought, 10 Compelling Ways to Manifest Abundance, Magic, and Miracles in Your Life. Nigel Taylor, welcome.
Lovely to be here, Sandy, and thank you for the invite.
Nigel, you've been teaching esoteric wisdom, healing, and principles of spiritual mastery across the globe for more than 30 years. And the work you teach is based on an extensive personal experience with a number of cultures and disciplines. Where did this journey start for you?
Actually, it started when I was probably about five and a half in that age group. I had a drowning experience. And that experience, as you will have heard from many people who have such near-death experiences, completely shakes up and awakens the whole psyche. For me, I had very, very vivid experiences of sound, color, light, angels. And when I came back from that experience, the primary change within me was that it amplified all of the living experiences I had. Nothing around me held the same value that it did before, even as a child. And it actually led me to a particular type of experience as a child when I was going to church as a choir boy, and I got paid for that, so it was worth it. That, we're going forward a few years now. Each night I would pray, and my prayer was an all-encompassing one, you know, bless the Beatles, bless the Rolling Stones, and everybody, until I got to the point where I would literally say, and bless yourself, God, whoever you are, because my feeling was that if God in this instance existed, Source existed, and we were using the term God then what that implied was that there had to be something behind or from where that principle came from. So I would say, whoever and whatever you are, because you must come from somewhere, otherwise that's nothing. And I would keep looking behind in my consciousness until I'd pass out, and then I'd roll straight out in spirit and I'd be back in that realm. So that started at a very young age, and it's been with me ever since.
Yeah, that's a line of thought that I've been following for years myself. But your new book, The Power Before Thought, sets out to demonstrate how our day-to-day reality is really nothing more than a projection of what you call mass cultural hypnosis. The majority of us are pretty much thinking and acting out of a predetermined cultural structure that we've been conditioned, hypnotized even, to believe is true from birth. Before we delve deeper into this, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, it's been a long time coming, and I've written other books, as you mentioned, and most of those were fairly intense, about 600-plus pages, and I reached a point where I said, look, you know, I'm looking at what's going on in the entire spectrum of spiritual and personal development teaching. And what I wanted to do was find a way to endeavor to cut straight through all of the teachings and to find a pathway where no matter what people would take as their governing myth, their governing principle, they could have some framework in which they could look at it from an external perspective. So it doesn't really matter if a person is an atheist or a Buddhist or a practitioner of astrology. They could actually step far enough back and have a questioning series of possibilities that would enable them to look and say, okay, I've taken this as my absolute. Is there something that I'm missing? And I'm not saying I've got the answer. What I endeavored to communicate in this was that throughout my life of meeting with many, many different people across different cultures and dimensions, the reality has been that what we take as an absolute is no more than a dream. But we've accepted a series of suggestions, and you see this 24/7 in everyday life where people defend something which they don't even understand or believe in, and the manipulation of people's thought forms across culture by groups that range from anything from medical to educational to political to religious, it doesn't matter. The movement of that energy inside the dream for purposes which are in many instances counterproductive to the greater good was ultimately what propelled this book to come into fruition, to give people something to look at. Now, they might not agree with it, which is fine, but they can at least consider the possibility that everything in creation is part of a dream, that every thought is first and foremost, every thought we hold is no more than an energy which has been made manifest, and it is made manifest through what we accept as our governing myth and governing truth.
So what is the purpose of the dream then?
Well, you know, that would be the ultimate question. If I could answer that in this time frame sharing here, the whole principle of creation would probably dissolve upon us. But what I would suggest is that if we look at the teachings of the great mystics of the great traditions, say the Brahmins of India, or we look at the Aboriginal Australians, their principle of understanding the dream simply says this: there is a dream. For there to be a dream, there must be a dreamer. The dreamer dreams the dream into existence. We are being dreamed into the dream by the dreamer, and we have the power of the dream within us. And that power enables us to dream our way back to the dreamer. Now, the very principle of the power of the dream is what in the Eastern understandings of the Vedic tradition is what is known as Maya. And Maya, per se, is simply to be able to, one who understands Maya, is one who is able to engineer, construct, who is an architect of the energy of thought, so that in such a way they can manifest the beauty and the magnificence of the highest realms that are possible inside creation. Now, the very highest realm of the dreamer, by whatever definition we give, is that of absolute, pure, divine love. And everything which is being manifest in the dream is an expansion or an extension of love. And yet, what we tend to find is we are, in many instances, moving away from love in order to find love. And hence, the dream has got the dimensions of war, it has got the dimensions of hunger, of violence, as we cast shadows within the dream to prevent ourselves from looking at who we are, what we are, and why we exist. So it's a very deep and powerful philosophical question, but it really comes back to the principle of who and what, therefore, is the dreamer. Why does the dreamer bring the dream into existence? Well, the dreamer is pure love. And this entire dream is a manifest possibility of love. However, what we have learned to do with free will is to experience love in the very deepest recesses of creation, where we've taken shadows and we've prevented ourselves from fully understanding that we are expressions of the dreamer ourselves, and in that instance we are pure love.
So how do we start to awaken from the dream?
Well, there's many different ways in which that can be done. I mean, there are fundamental practices which are seen right across all of the esoteric traditions, one of which would be taking time each and every day to go into silence, contemplative silence, meditation, where we actually get in contact with the silence within through meditation by cutting out our reliance upon external stimuli. Now, that for one is a very simple first step. It only needs to be something like 10 minutes a day, once or twice a day to start with. We don't need to be hiding in a monastery, but taking that time so that we become accustomed to silence and to the inner world. Then we can do any number of different things, and that is to look at every thought that transpires, that passes before us. These thoughts we have, ask ourselves, whose thought is this? Is this your thought? Is it original to you? Did you create this very thought? Or is this a manifest version of a thought that already exists inside creation that you have, for the want of a better term, put your antenna up and said, let me receive this, let me accept this, let me act upon it, when in actual fact there has been no testing, no evaluation, and no validation of whether it is actually a truth that is leading you closer to love and closer to joy and fulfillment in the service of this life to all beings other than just yourself. So there are simple things like meditation, contemplation, and questioning the very, very basis of every thought that passes through. Now, we cannot sit 24/7 unless we've got an enormous amount of time on our hands and question every thought, but we can question major chunks of thought energy that pass through us when we're in our work environment or we're engaged in relationships with people where we're having a dialogue, and ask ourselves, where are these thoughts coming from that I'm giving such power and such potency to, that they're framing the very essence of my being, even as I stand here at this moment in time talking? And that pathway, if we were to commit ourselves to that, those two very simple steps, and asking ourselves whether or not what we're doing is leading us closer to or further away from love, will step by step open up the possibility that we can step in and pull out some of the elements of our thinking process which are counterproductive.
You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, and my guest today is international speaker, author, and healer Nigel Taylor. And we're talking about awakening from the dream of reality. After the break, Nigel will tell us about how we can manifest abundance, magic, and miracles in our lives when we do awaken from the dream. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform, and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Celebrate!
Are you ready to do something completely amazing for yourself? Spend a weekend with some of the world's most renowned and powerful spiritual teachers? Nourish your soul, enrich your life, honor your spirit, and celebrate you at a Celebrate Your Life conference. Attend powerful, life-changing workshops that will bring you more love, healing, and transformation than you can possibly imagine. Register now. Visit www.celebrateyourlife.org. That's www.celebrateyourlife.org.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with visionary author, speaker, and teacher Nigel Taylor about his book, The Power Before Thought, and in particular, what awaits us when we awaken from the dream of reality. Nigel, you say that there are simple steps we can follow that will help us manifest our dreams and make miracles in our lives and help us awaken from the dream of reality. So can you just share a few of those with us?
Yeah, sure. I think inherently there are three primary steps that can assist us right from the word go. Number one is first and foremost, we must always be prepared to test our teachers. Now, the teachers can be from any source. They can be physical, non-physical. They can be family members. They can be books. They can be media. It doesn't matter. But inherently, a teacher who brings forth any message, and that includes myself, you, and anybody else, a teacher that brings forth a message must be able to stand in the place of that message. And it is important to take a teaching at face value to the degree that this is what has been shared, but test the teacher, question the teacher, go through the teacher's message to that which is behind the message itself. Because inherently, any teacher of any tradition, be it the Kabbalistic tradition, be it the Buddhist practice or indigenous shamanic practice, any pathway that a person has engaged in their life journey is simply a series of thought forms which have been brought together, presented as a series of concepts, and that then has come from the mind of the teacher, projected either onto paper or onto a screen, but given in such a way that we then either read and convert those images, those words back into images, filter them through our own belief system, and find what that means to us. But at the end of the day, the teacher is a messenger. We need to go through and test each and every teacher, and it really doesn't matter who they are, whether it be a biblical teacher, whether it be a mystic. We test their message by validating, going deeper, and saying, is this true for me? Have I found this to be true? How can I prove this to be true? And that means, in many instances, applying the teachings and keeping a journal to see whether or not there has been significant growth and elevation in a person's spiritual journey by testing those teachings. Now, that applies right across the board with all forms of teaching. A second very important element is to actually apply what is known as discernment. Now, when we take the path of working within the dream, our objective is to look at everything in front of us as a manifestation of our own dream. We have projected our thoughts out. We have put them out into the experience we call life. But what we've got to do is actually ask ourselves, and I mentioned this earlier when we spoke, we've got to ask ourselves, first of all, are these thoughts my thoughts? If they are not my thoughts, where are they coming from? Let me just give you a brief example of this. I have a number of clients over the years that come in for healing sessions. Now, when they're in the healing pathway, I'll often be shown things from the other dimensions. Now, on one instance, there was a lady that was with me. She had a very she was dealing with quite a few challenges at that point in her life. I was shown in spirit a dog. Now, I asked her if she had this dog, and her response was, "No, I don't have a dog." Now, I was being prompted again to ask her if she had the dog, because this is what I was being shown through spirit. So I asked a number of times, and I would have thought, as most people would, she would know if she had a dog. Well, at the end of the day, she started laughing and broke down and said, "Oh, my God, yes, I did have a dog, but not a physical dog." And then she explained the story that she'd had this childhood with many sisters and brothers. They couldn't afford a dog. The parents said, "Let's create an imaginary one." Well, they created it, and for something like 20 years, they took it out for walks, they fed it, they named it, they had it sitting beside them, and so on and so forth. Now, the point here is simply this. That dog was presenting itself across dimensions in spirit to remind this lady that she had created this with her own mind and it had a reality tone. So my point now is this. Be ever conscious of where you place the energy in your thoughts. Any thoughts you have that you constantly place energy into, that you feed, are going to become like that dog. It's going to be ever present as a vibratory essence that surrounds you. So therefore, they may not be dogs, but they could be a lack of understanding. They could be resentment. They could be anger. They could be hurt. They could be fears. They could be any number of dimensional, thought forms, which come to us across time, space, because we are radiating in our antennae, for the want of a better term, to receive those energies of the field of fear, angst, poverty, whatever the case may be. And those are very real energies which cloud our capacity in the dream to see the silence and beauty of our own pure love. So working with discernment becomes very, very important.
So what you're saying basically is our thoughts create our reality, and if we allow ourselves to be conditioned by the thoughts that are aimed at us from childhood, then, you know, that's basically, you know, living the dream in the wrong way. It's believing that reality. What we need to do is step beyond those thoughts.
Exactly. And living the dream is like if you look at what's going on the planet right now, we're in a scenario where we have significant raising of the tempo of the angst, if you will, of people of one faith against another faith, of one political persuasion against another political persuasion. That is the real potency of using thoughts which are already like they're like entities unto themselves. Anger is an entity. It has got tentacles which are always ready to drop down whenever a person finds in their own being there is a reason to experience anger. It might be anger at receiving an electricity bill or you know, someone's done something, but that entity exists. Now, there's an entity for war. It's a thought form, but it's an entity.
Nigel, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to have to interrupt you here because we are almost out of time, just as it's beginning, you know.
That's the end of your time.
Exactly. we don't have much time left, so I do need to ask you one last question, and we do need a fairly brief answer,
yes.
And that is, what do you think that the future holds for us?
I am an optimist. I live in that part of the dream which believes that love and light ultimately always wins. We are going through the, for the want of a better term, the eye of the needle. We are leaving behind those thought forms and those energies which no longer serve us. We are moving into a place, albeit it is not quite here yet, where we are going to be able to realize all of what has been transpiring in our conscious memory has brought us to this place. We've squeezed ourselves into the shadows so that we can actually come out into the light. Put it this way, if you go into a dark room and you open the curtains, you'll see some of the dust. If you pull the curtains down, you'll see more. If you move the furniture out and turn the neon lights on, you'll see it all. There's more light coming in, and it's revealing the areas of our shadows. And once we deal with that, then the light takes precedence in every single thought, word, and deed.
Nigel Taylor, I think that your book, The Power Before Thought, 10 Compelling Ways to Manifest Abundance, Magic and Miracles in Your Life, has appeared at a very timely moment. Before we leave, could you just tell our listeners where they can find out more information about you and what you will be doing next, but very, very quickly?
Very quickly, the book is available on Amazon. My website is nigeltaylor.net, and currently we are working on bringing a program out which is literally an online training for people over a period of about, it's going to be 30 plus days of interaction and working. And classes, well, we've got a couple of classes that are scheduled up in the northeastern area, one in New Jersey, one in Pennsylvania, before we then start heading out and traveling overseas again.
Well, I hope that we've given our listeners a little flavour of your book. There is so much in it. Levels of reality, time and space, how to create lasting improvements in all areas of your life, rising above pain and suffering, etc. So I encourage people to read it for themselves. Full of great material. Nigel Taylor, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Sandy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of this show. If you wish to learn more about the services I offer in applying the science of resonance for personal and business success, or would like some coaching on how to put the alchemy back into your life, your relationships and your dreams, visit my website at sedgbeer.com, where you can also sign up for my News from the Edge newsletter. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer and musician Barry Goldstein. I'll be back at the same time next week. In the meantime, you can find more great shows in our archives at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgbeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge. You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.